Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll read a couple of verses here and pray, and then we'll be seated. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. Deuteronomy 32, 28. You can just follow along as I read. Deuteronomy 32, 28. The Bible says, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither," notice this, "neither is there any understanding in them." This nation, the nation referred to is the nation of Israel here. But think about what Moses is writing here. They have no counsel and no understanding. Verse 29. "Oh, that they were wise." That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. That's the emphasis that God's placed on my heart, is that last statement that Moses makes and writes here in verse 29, that they would consider their latter end. I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight, and it's a statement: consider your latter end. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done in this meeting. Please take these few moments that we have and opening up your inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, your word, God, as we open it up. Please teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. I wonder if you've ever heard someone say something like this. Maybe not exactly like this, but something like this. "This isn't going to end well. This isn't going to end well." Maybe when a child is playing with a box of matches, we might say they are not considering their ladder end. Possibly when a child is jumping off the top bunk bed, they are not considering their ladder end. Maybe someone is driving down Highway 1 at 200 kilometers an hour. Possibly they are not considering, unless they're driving a Maserati or a Ferrari or some one of those. No, just kidding. They are not considering their ladder end. On a more serious note, when a teenager gets involved in pornography, I can guarantee you they are not considering their ladder end. For that matter, when an adult gets involved in pornography, they are not considering their latter end. When someone takes their first drink of alcohol, when someone shoots up for the first time, you don't know what that means? Good, I'm glad you don't know what that means. When someone takes drugs for the first time, try this. Sniff this. Everyone's doing it. Look at this. Everyone's watching it. I can tell you, they are not considering their latter end. Moses said, "Oh, that this nation, a nation that is void of counsel, a nation that is void of understanding. Oh, that this nation would consider their latter end." This nation that had everything provided for it. This nation that had very strict instructions that if you will follow me and if you will obey me and if you will follow my directions and my guiding, then you're going to be blessed. They didn't consider their latter end. I wonder, are you considering tonight your latter end? When a child ignores the warnings of his or her parents about a certain group of friends, look, kids, your parents have some discernment that you don't have. It isn't because they don't like you, they don't love you. In fact, they love you. And when a child ignores the counsel of their parents about a certain group of friends, I have to tell you, teenager, you are not considering your latter end. You have a dad and you have a mom that are there for you to help you in your youth to consider your latter end. The nation of Israel and Jerusalem specifically did not consider their latter end. They lived for the moment. They lived for the pleasing of the flesh, if you will. It felt good, so they did it. You know that saying, right? If it feels good, do it. I'll tell you what, living by that motto, we are not considering our latter end. The warning was loud and clear. If the nation of Israel played with fire, yes, they would get burned. I remember speaking of fire and speaking of matches, I remember I think I might have been early in my teen years. I love to burn things. Now, where I grew up in Michigan in the country, we burnt everything that could be burned. Okay? I think there's a big hole in the ozone layer over top of my house where we live. And no, I don't mean that. I'm not serious about that. But I mean, we had a burn barrel. It was a 50-gallon drum burn barrel. It was a, I don't know, if I guess it wouldn't be steel. I don't know what it would have been. Metal drum barrel of some kind. And we took our garbage out there, and we put it in there. There was no garbage pickup where I live. And if you couldn't burn it, we buried it in the garden. That was the recycle bin. Hallelujah for those kind of things. Amen? Didn't have to put 14 cans and 6 bags out on Tuesdays for the trucks to come around. Is that how many you have to put out? I don't have to put out that many either, but it seems like that many, okay? No, we just dug a hole in the garden and put the scraps in there. And then we lit a fire to that stuff that was in the burn. Oh, you know what? I got caught up, man. I wanted to burn anything and everything. I made an excuse to go out and to burn stuff in the burn. Well, one day, I had the dumbest idea in all the world. I'm going to take that garbage bag out from the house. I'm going to skip the burn barrel, and I'm going to go out to the corn crib. You know what a corn crib is? That's where the farmer would bring all the corn and store it, and so that when it was time, he'd go get the corn and feed the cattle or whatever. We had an old abandoned corn crib. It wasn't being used. And so I took the garbage out to the corn crib. And I'll tell you this, I was not considering my latter end. I wanted to have some fun. And so I went out there and I burned the trash in the corn crib. Underneath it. Everything was done and I went back in the house. So I thought. I think about 30 minutes later, I heard my dad hollering from the outside, "Fire, fire, fire." What had happened was that fire that I had burnt under the corn crib, I hadn't put it out. Let me just say, I never burned the trash under the corn crib ever again because I was on fire. Let me tell you, my dad believed in discipline, and he did it the right way, all right? And you know what, though? I wasn't considering what that could do. Why? Because I was simple. I was immature. By the way, adults, we can be immature, can't we? We get involved in things and we have no thought. We give no thought of where this might take us. That's exactly what the nation of Israel was accused of and guilty of. That somehow they could live immorally and somehow they could live wickedly and somehow they could bring in all the false gods and God would just sweep it under the rug. No, that's not what God does. Now, God is merciful. God is long-suffering. Get it? If you don't believe me, read about the nation of Israel in the Bible. Read about how many times God forgave them and God allowed them to come back. And not just them, you and me as well. God's word tonight is for my admonition. God's word tonight provides instructions on how to live a life that will be blessed. Currently and in our latter end. I don't want to just start well. I don't want to continue well. I want to finish well. And even today, and again, I'm not poking and trying to lift. I'm nobody, and I just praise God for every day He gives me. But even today, I was given some information, not in a gossiping way, but in a prayer way, from one pastor to another, one man in ministry to another, about a pastor who had to resign in recent days because he did not consider the latter end. He made some foolish choices. Look, we've all made foolish choices. And by the grace of God, there go I. What I'm saying tonight, church, is have you or are you considering your latter end? We can choose to obey God's word or we can choose to go our own way. The latter end, you don't have a choice of where that ends up, though. God does. Psalm 81 and verse 12, the Bible says, "So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." Psalm 81. I would jot that reference down if I were you. I know we didn't turn to it. Psalm 81, 12 and 13. "Oh, that my people had walked in my ways and hearkened unto me." When Achan took of the accursed thing in Joshua chapter 7, Achan did not consider his latter end or the latter end of his entire family. Like our preacher tonight said, our missionary said, "I don't know how many people are listening, but I have one wife and seven children that I know are listening. They're watching my every move. And as I consider things, I'm not just considering things for me. I'm deciding things. I'm not just deciding things for me. And I'm choosing things not just for me. I'm choosing things for a wife and seven children." You might say, "Tonight I'm living by myself, Pastor Turner." But you're influencing people every day. So why don't we don't just consider our own latter end? We're considering the latter end of anyone who we influence. When Agrippa said to those who were witnessing to him, to Paul there in Acts chapter 26, when Agrippa said the amazing statement, and I it's amazed me every time I read it, he said, Almost, he said. What did he say? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." As far as we know, King Agrippa did not become a Christian. And I would submit to you tonight that he did not consider his latter end. Paul said, I wish that thou wert not just almost, but altogether just like me. And he said, "Accept these bonds." When Demas fell in love with the world and forsook Paul, he did not consider his latter end. And for 2,000 years, what is he known for? Demas, having loved this world, he forsook me having loved this present world. When you say the name Demas, that's what you think of. If you've read your Bible at any point, that's what you think of. I have to admit, I've met a lot of people in this world in 47 years of life. I don't think I've met anybody named Demas. I could be wrong. Maybe you know somebody named Demas. They're a good guy. Okay, we have one that knows somebody named Demas. And we'll have to find out about that later. You're the first one I've ever met, actually, quite frankly. Demas. Maybe it's a common name in some countries. I've never met anybody named Demas. But I tell you this, he didn't consider his latter end. "I'll just go over here and dabble in the world for a little bit, just a little bit, and then I'll come back to church." That's not how it works. That's foolish. That's not considering your latter end. In Luke's gospel, the rich man had everything he could ever want. He did not consider his latter end. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. He had the finest of food. He had the finest of drink. He had the finest of apparel. He had the finest of accommodations. But when he died, none of it went with him. Might I say to you tonight, no matter what you amount here on this earth, no matter what you accumulate here on this earth, my friend, my visitor tonight, someone maybe has never been challenged with the gospel tonight, I challenge you lovingly, consider your latter end. Because this life that you have is maybe 70 years, maybe 80 years, and maybe less, but then what about eternity? "Oh, that my people had walked in my ways," God said. Moses said, "Oh, that they would consider their latter end." Go with me, if you will, to Lamentations chapter number 1, please. Lamentations chapter number 1. Lamentations chapter number 1. It's right before Ezekiel, written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. When David looked too long at Bathsheba. Look, when David looked too long at Bathsheba, he had a chance to look away and he didn't look away. I guarantee you he was not considering his latter end. He was not considering a baby dying. He was not considering a son rebelling. He was not considering other family members being raped. And on it goes. Why? I believe it started right there on that day when he should have been in battle. He did not consider his latter end. What are you about to do, friend? What are you about? Hey, Anchor Baptist Church, what are you about to get involved in? Are you considering your latter end? Are you considering where this will take you? Are you considering where this will take your family? Are you considering your latter end? Just hold your finger there in Lamentations. I'll be there in just a minute. What is the latter end of the harlot in Proverbs 7? Just hold, if you just stay in Lamentations, unless you can turn really fast, but I did get ahead of myself slightly. Proverbs 7, verse 26. The Bible says, "For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of what? Death." Can you get a visual picture of that? Do you know what? Do you know how the world pictures what's happening in Proverbs chapter 7? Do you know how the world pictures it? It pictures it as fun. It pictures it as exciting. It pictures it as your right to do whatever you want to do. It's your body. It's yours. You do with it whatever you want with it. But that is not how God's Word pictures it. Look at this picture. Look at the pictures that God gives us here in His Word. Casting down many wounded. This is the harlot. Casting down, there's the wounded. She's taken many strong men and slain them. I can handle this. No, you can't. You're not considering the latter end. Then it says, her house is the way to hell. Notice, going down to the chambers of death. You know what I think of? Going down into a cellar. Michigan, back to Michigan in my childhood, we had an old Michigan basement. I don't know if you know what that means. Maybe somewhere where you've lived, you had an old Michigan basement and you didn't even live in Michigan. But it started in Michigan, let me tell you. What does it mean? It means it's unfinished. It means it's just dirt on the walls. It has a smell to it. I can still smell that basement. And any time, I remember as a younger child being sent down to the basement, oh, I hoped and prayed that it was during the daytime. Because it was dark. And there's only little windows down in the bottom and only the sunlight could come in. And when it was nighttime, yes, we had a light, but I can just remember this little bulb hanging from the ceiling. Nothing really fancy, not a whole lot of light. It was a real light bulb, unlike what we have today. But I didn't want to go down in the basement because it stunk. It was scary. And I have to be honest with you, it scared me. That's what I picture when I read this. In a whole lot more serious way, going down to the chambers of death. This is what the world would say. Oh, have your fun. Live it up. You're not considering your latter end. The latter end of the harlot is death and destruction and wounded. This is not what she was advertising, was it? She wasn't advertising death. You go up in the previous verses of chapter 7 and you'll read what she was advertising. But she wasn't showing what the latter end was. You see, that's the way the devil works. He never shows the latter end. He just shows the pleasure of sin for a season. Lamentations chapter 1, you're there. Jeremiah is writing about these same people that we read about in Deuteronomy a little while back. Notice what he says in verse 9 of chapter 1. Her filthiness is in her skirts. Notice, she remembereth not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. And that's not wonderfully like in, like many times I'll close out an email maybe to you. Have a wonderful day. That's not what this word wonderfully means. She came down decisively. She came down definitively. And by the way, it wasn't coming down humbly. It was coming down in judgment. Why? Because she had not considered her end. The Bible says she had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Jerusalem never thought about where the sin and rebellion would lead them. I want to just, this is a warning tonight. Believe me, this is coming from an under-shepherd who is not perfect, who's got to consider his latter end every day as well. But I'm coming to you tonight with a heart of compassion, of warning, and saying, please consider the latter end of what you are involved in and where is it taking you. Not what does it make you feel right now, but where is it taking you? Deuteronomy 5:28. Would you turn over there quickly? Deuteronomy 5:28. Deuteronomy 5:28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. This is what we're praying for. This is what we're praying for every dad watching tonight, every mom watching tonight, every single man watching tonight, every young man, young lady, teenager, junior age. This is what we're praying for, every five-year-old and six-year-old, every one of you. This is what we're praying for. As Moses said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me. This is what we need in Canada. We need a group of people that are fearing Almighty God. We need pastors and people and members and attenders and believers all across this land that have a fear of God. Oh, that they would have a heart, that they would fear God and keep all my commandments. Notice this, always. But that's not what happened to Israel. Because then we found out in Lamentations 1:9, she came down wonderfully. Why? Because she did not consider her last end. Notice he says, and keep all my commandments always. Verse 29, I love this thought, that it might be well with them. That's the first generation. You see that? You can write that over that if you're there in your Bible, you're taking notes. That's the first generation, that it might be well with them and with their children. That's the second generation. But I like the word forever. That's every generation following. But what does it have to start with? It's got to start with someone who says, I have a heart of fear and obedience to God Almighty, that I'm going to consider the latter end of what I'm living in and where it's taking me, that it would take me, and that at the end, I would be blessed. Sin offers freedom, but it delivers bondage. Sin offers freedom, but it delivers bondage. Sin offers a better life, but it delivers death. Sin offers fulfillment, but it delivers emptiness. Sin offers pleasure, but it delivers guilt. How many of us have had that guilty feeling before? Why did I do that? Why did I take that? Why did I say that? That's because sin doesn't offer any pleasure at all. It only offers guilt. Sin offers success, but it delivers failure. The great need I have today in my life is to consider my latter end. Decisions I'm making today, where are they leading me? It is imperative that we consider the choices that we are making today and where are they taking me? I know this is obvious, but it needs to be said. My choices determine my end. No one is making you choose. You have a free will. That's a blessed thing, by the way. You have a free will. There's an opportunity for you to be saved. There's an opportunity for you to be forgiven of all your sin. There's an opportunity for you to go to heaven when you die. But it's up to you. You choose based on the Word of God. What is the promise? Eternal life. That will be your latter end. Praise the Lord. You reject. There's also a promise. What is that? The lake of fire for all eternity. That is your latter end. I did not send you there. God did not even send you there. You chose to go to either place. It's up to you. It's up to me. Go with me quickly to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Consider your latter end. The choices are summed up in all of our life into two categories. As believers, two categories. Here they are. It's not new, but I hope it will sink in a little bit deeper tonight, quickly. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. See? You still have, as a Christian, I still have the flesh. It's still there. This is why Paul said, I have to die every day. He didn't mean his body had to die every day. He meant he had to die to his flesh every day. So really it comes down to two choices. Am I going to walk in the Spirit, God's Spirit, who's living in me as a believer? This is for Christians now, those that have been saved. Or I'm going to say yes to the flesh. That's the two choices. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It means that there is a battle going on, and you know this, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then we read, the works of the flesh are, we're not going to go into all these, but there they are. And then verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is. So here we have, it all boils down to, what is the end? If we consider our end, and we want to have an end that is blessed, here it's very simple. Walk in the Spirit, and your latter end will be blessed. Walk in the flesh, and your latter end will be judgment. Not eternal judgment, but you will be judged. The Bible says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can be forgiven of your sin. Yes, John 1:9 is there, but be sure your sin will find you out. Folks, there are people tonight that are Christians that are saved. Yes, they're on their way to heaven, but they're saying yes to the flesh more than they're saying yes to the Spirit, and they're not considering their latter end. And this is not just about them. It's about their children and their grandchildren and generation after generation. Look, I want the latter end of my entire family to be blessed of God. It starts that I consider my latter end. I keep out all the works of the flesh. I keep out all of the sensual things, and I keep out all of the prideful things and the bitter things and all of that. I have the privilege, I have the opportunity to say no to all these things, because they're going to take me somewhere that I really don't want to go. If I consider my latter end, and I see where some have gone, I don't necessarily see it and say, oh, let's just pile on them. No, I look at that. I pray for them, and by the grace of God, there go I. But I have to learn from the people in this Bible. I have to learn from the Achans of the Bible. Look, that's exactly what Achan did. He looked, he longed, he took it. Where are you in the process tonight? Are you looking? Stop looking. That's what David did. He looked, he longed, he lusted, and he took her. Where are you in the process, sir? Ma'am, where are you in the process tonight of doing something that you are not thinking about where it's going to take you and what it's going to mean for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for the testimony of a holy God? Where are you tonight? Oh, we need a revival in the church of considering our latter end. When the appeal of sin is great and even confusing, when the appeal of sin is great and even confusing, we follow the example of Paul when he says, the things I should do, I don't, and the things I shouldn't do, I do them, Romans 7, 23 through 25. Let's quickly look at Romans 7, 25, and let's see how we have the power to walk in the Spirit, and we have the power to have a blessed latter end. And by the way, not just a latter end, but a blessed day right now. Look at Romans 7:25. I thank God. Romans 7:25, Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, isn't that something? What are you putting into your mind? Paul said, I serve God. I serve the law of God with the mind, and I do it I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. God gives us the power through Jesus Christ our Lord, he said. That's what I wanted to emphasize there. The power to choose the blessed path that leads to a blessed end. Psalm 1 and 3, I won't turn there for time. Psalm 1 and verse 3 ends with this statement. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth. This is someone who's following the will of God. This is someone who's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. On and on, let's read there, Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Now on the flip side of this, mainly looking at one side tonight, but we're flipping the coin over and saying, consider your latter end. Just keep living for God. You never know when someone's watching. Keep living a pure life. Consider your latter end. Your life is a living testimony. Consider your latter end. You say, I don't see, nothing seems to be happening. I'm following and this and that and the other thing. Hey, God's keeping track of it all. Just consider your latter end. God's blessing, God's working. Give him the glory. Trust him with the timing of it all. Keep on keeping on. And when that temptation comes, be like the gingerbread man. Run as fast as you can. That temptation. While you're running, consider the latter. Consider the many that are wounded. Consider the many that are taken down into that Michigan basement. The latter end. Consider Jerusalem in Lamentations with the weeping prophet who said, she went down. She did not consider her latter end. Oh, I hope tonight that this encourages you. Yes, I mean it. I hope it encourages you to examine your life tonight. and see if there's anything in there that lines up in the works of the flesh. And if it is, repent of it. Kick it out of there. Get back to the walking in the Spirit. It's the one Spirit that always leads.